This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Case of Rav Ado Bar Ahava. Rav Ado Bar Ahava Omar. Rav Ado Bar Ahava says, what does Hatzad HaShove Shovehim come to include? The Yisu Yehoda Sanya, to include this brisa, where we learned, Kol Eilu She'omru Poizchin Bivisayim V'gorfin Ma'arusayim B'mois HaChamo Ein Lohem Rishus B'mois HaGshomim Yesh Lohem Rishus. All these cases where we talked about people who open up their drain pipes and sweep out their storage rooms. In the summer, they're not permitted to do so. In the winter, they're permitted to do so. Oh, Roy, we just had a medical report on you. Nevertheless, even though in the winter they have reshus, that does not free them of the obligation to pay in the event that their drainage or garbage causes nezek. Hechidomi, ask the Gemara, what is the case? If, as a result, direct result of having opened the drain pipes or having thrown out the garbage, it lands on somebody and damages them, that's koicha, it's odom hamazik. Elo boso denayich, so we must be talking about a case where it lands on the road and then it causes the mischief. Hechidomi, in what case? Ida abkirinu ben rav ben lishmul hainu boi, that is the case of boi. We must be talking about a case where they weren't mafkirit. Even then, according to Shmuel, who says that everything is learned from Boir, even if it's not hefkir, this too is a case of Boir. And therefore, according to Shmuel, Alibed Rav Ado Bar Ahava, what is the purpose of Atzad HaShova Shemahim in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Lo'ilom de Afkirin. It must be talking about a case where he was mafkir. The loy dami laboy, and you couldn't learn it out from boy, because I could ask on the limud from boy. Ma laboy sheken shaloy bereshus, toima bahani de bereshus. Boy is shaloy bereshus. These are done bereshus, and therefore I might think that these are potter. Shor yochiach. Shor walks in reshus harabim with reshus. He's permitted to walk in reshus harabim, and yet he's chayav for kerem. Ma l'shor sheken darke lelech ulahazik. What about shor that's darke lelech ulahazik? Boy tochiach b'chos radim. Says Rashi, Kol Eilu She'omru V'Kachoshi V'Ozilu. The Gemara carries on and relate and counts them out. Eilu Ha'Poskim B'Vaseim V'Gofim Ma'Ariseim. Kolima Kol Eilu She'omru Chachomim She'yesh Lohem Rishus Lashlich Nizkeim Rishus Arabim V'Eilu Hein. All those given as an example by Chachomim where you're permitted to throw your Nizikim into the Rishus Arabim. And these are the poskim bivaseim and poskim tzinurusayim amakalchim shuifchim shuifchim michatzareim lirshus harabim. They open their drains, that means they open pipes which lead off their drainage water into the from the yards into rishus harabim. Vegorfin ma'arusayim umashlichim zivleim lirshus harabim. They clean out their storage rooms and they throw out the zevel into rishus harabim. B'yemayis hacham lo'in lo'im rishus. During the summertime they're not permitted to do so. Mipnei she'arachoyiv noev hu mekalkele. Because the road is nice and they damage it. Aval b'yemayis ha'gashomim sh'arachoyiv is meluchlochus yesh lo'im rishus. But in the yemayis ha'gashomim, when the rechoyivis are dirty, they have rishus to do so. So the rishus and the not rishus seems to be related to the aesthetics of the rechoyiv. Not to the fact that they are nezikim. To put a nezik there, you're responsible for. It's just a question of whether you're allowed to do it or you're not. It's rishus harabim. So in the chora, you're allowed to empty your garbage there, provided you're not spoiling the aesthetics, it looks like. The rabbin is entitled to demand that their neighborhood is kept decent, and if it's normally decent, you aren't permitted to throw your rubbish there. But if it's not, then you're permitted to throw your rubbish there. But if somebody falls over it, you're still chayav. That you still have.
That's what we say. That's part of it.
Yeah. It's a weird case of a boy b'shus harabim which you're allowed to, which you're allowed to, allowed to dig, you're allowed to create.
don't do it.
It's a chance that you take or you don't do it. It's either you feel that it's an unlikely chance that anybody will, if it's something which clearly is going to damage people, you're not allowed to do it. Not als the no'e, but als bo. Not that you're not allowed to do it, but so what does that mean? If in your storeroom you've got an old piece of furniture, an old table, are you allowed to throw it in Luboth Avenue in the Mosach Chayav and Mosach Shomim? Good, you'll be chayav if somebody bumps in, but are you allowed to? Is that Nisr? Would seem it's not an issue. That's part of what Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is for, theoretically. And if it could be... Rashi doesn't say that. Sharuchov Noe.
But Noe means it's clean.
Yeah, but who makalkal
Noe? Rochus means that there are all things lying around it.
No, not necessarily. But you must say Shom Sharuchov is meluch lochus. He doesn't say it's meleus mechshoyli. It's not meluch loch. He talks about meluchlach and noe. It's clearly aesthetic terms. In some cities in Europe, they have pavement sales, they call it, where on certain days in the week you can put all your junk on the pavement, and people go around and you can collect because things in Japan they have it also, because there, for example, electronic equipment loses its value very quickly. So you buy a hi-fi set, and then a year or two later it's totally outdated. And it has very little resale value, so it becomes a nuisance. You want to buy a new set, and your problem is not how to get money for your old set. You're not going to get money for your old set. The only question is how to get rid of it. Where do you throw it? So once a week you can put it on the pavement, and people come and they pick it up, and they take it away. And then at the end of the day, anything that isn't taken away, the municipality comes and they collect it all, which is actually a very lovely idea to get rid of a lot of. So they said, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're entitled to put your junk in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, except in the sense that it spoils Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But it seems that it isn't an issur. To dig a pit is an issur. To put a michshol there, the shame michshol, is an issur. But if it's as a result of cleaning out your house, that's not issur. You're chayav for it, but it's not issur. Very strange case of nezikin. And mashma also in those neighborhoods where the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is a mess, you're allowed to. So are you allowed to? So Enachanami, in a place which is a dirty place, which is not kept clean, there is no issue to throw something in the street there.
Just that.
Oh, that's another problem. That one has to find out who's the Baal HaNezek. Who's the Baal HaNezek, even if he's mafkir. That's a technical problem. How you find out who's the baller?
So in this society, really, people don't worry about such things. We wouldn't have to protect our own, so to speak, our own level.
It's aschinuch. You might say aschinuch. It's not a good. It's not a good idea to drop things on the street. But to say that it's an issur if you did, no, you don't have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur if you did. But if you drop something in the street where the street is clean, you do have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. That's an issur. ואף על פי שברשוס בייז דין משליחים אם היזיק לחיובים says Rashi. Nevertheless, although you're doing it ברשוס בייז דין אם היזיק לחיובים, one must correct that. In a case where it's against the law to throw something down, even if it's in an unkempt area, then of course you wouldn't ask dinner demachus or dinner. Here we're talking about ברשוס בייז דין. There's no dinner demachus, or the בייז דין say you're allowed to throw. כוח להו והיינו אדום ותנו לו במסליסים. Odom. But Mavi means Odom. And if it's not a, why, what will be, where will be in the Mishnah to come? There's Odom clearly. In the very next Mishnah, you mean? Although Rashi's, yeah, but listen, I suppose that's what you would have to say. Yeah, that's what you would have to say. Va'odom, yeah, Va'odom, you'd have to say that's included in Odom Amazik in the Mishnah on Daf Tesvov. Shor yochiach shibereshus beis din hu mahalech bereshus harabim. The shor is allowed to walk in reshus harabim. Sharei kol odom yesh lo reshus bekam, because anybody is allowed to walk in reshus harabim. Vim hezik chayev, and yet if the shor is mazik, is chayev. Afani avi b'hainu atzad ha'shovi d'masnisim. That's what we need the tzad ha'shovi for in the Mishnah. Says Tosfos, my leboyer shekein sheloi b'rishus. I my tainer that boyer is dug without rishus. The afilu asuhu b'rishus. For even if you made a boyer b'rishus, how did you do that? You made it in your own rishus, in your own property. V'achar kach hifkir, and then you're mafkir the whole thing. Kivan shehifkir haynu sheloi b'rishus. The act of being mafkir is the sheloi b'rishus. You have no right to be mafkir a boyer, which is now going to be a mikshul in rishus harabin. The act of being mafkir becomes isur. Rabbi Kiva Eger refers us to a Tosfos further on in Daf Kaf Ches Amud Beis, which says a little differently. If you look at about 12 lines from the end of the long Tosfos there, 10 lines. Ve'afilu choifer be'emtza reshusoi. Tosfos says there, and even if a person digs a pit in the middle of his own reshus, so he's allowed to do so, ve'hifkir reshusoi ve'loi boire, and he is mafkir his reshus, but not his boir, kivan de'sheloihu, so now the boir is his. Since the boir is his, chayav la'asir atakole, he has to remove it. Since he is obligated to fill it and he omits to filling it, omitting to fill it is like digging it. So it's true that the act of digging he did b'rishus, but his omission to fill it once it lands up in Rishus HaRabin is in itself an isur. But if he digs a pit in his own rishus and then he's mafkir his rishus together with the boir, and now he's no longer Baal HaBoyer, simultaneously with it becoming a Boyer B'Rishus HaRabim, his ownership was removed. Lo Mechayev, he's not Chayev for that. Now that's against our Tosfos. Our Tosfos says the act of being Mafkir is the digging of a pit. That's how you do, that's one of the ways of digging a pit. So there's a machlokes between our Tosfos on Dav Vov and the Tosfos on Dav Kaf Ches. Our Tosfos holds that the act of Mafkir is an Isur. The Tosfos on Daf Kaf Ches says, no, if you mafkir the boyer as well, then there is no time that the boyer in Rishus HaRabim is yours. You've created a boyer in Rishus HaRabim which isn't yours. Our Tosfos says, no, that act of creation is in itself an issur. You had no right to do it, and having done it, you chayev for it.
But that's talking specifically about the boyer, isn't it?
Yeah.
In our
Tosfos. So is the Tosfos on Daf Kaf Ches.
It feels that the one at Kaf Ches is slightly different.
Why? What's the difference?
It's part of that land. It wasn't a problem at the stage that it was part of Rishus HaYachid. And he was mafkir the whole Rishus HaYachid. The fact that it had a boyer in it.
Yes, we're talking about the same case here. Dafilu asur b'rishus. He dug a boyer in his own Rishus. And then he was mafkir. And Tosfos doesn't say what he was mafkir. Was he only mafkir the rishus, or was he mafkir the whole lot? But he says kiven shehifkir haynu shaloi b'rishus. The act of being mafkir is shaloi b'rishus. That's what he did. The act of being mafkir is the problem. Whereas Tosfos and Daf Kaf Ches says no, you still have to be the owner. If you were never the owner of the boyer in Rishus HaRabim, you can't be held chayav for it. That's the difference between the two Tosfos. So I might think that these cases of poskin b'leisein b'rishus harabim, that's b'rishus. I might think you potter, even though boyer you chayev. That's because there's loy b'rishus. But this is a weird case of a nezek which you have rishus for. Shor yuchiach, we've got a precedent. Shor is a case of rishus. You're allowed to walk with your shor in rishus harabim, and yet you chayev for its care in there. Vim Toymar asks Tosfos the kashi we asked on Thursday. Lamando matana shoyle raglo hechik omar shor yuchiyach. That's all very well according to the Mando Omar. According to Shmuel, he's according to Rav, who says that shor means keren. So the case in the Mishnah of shor is keren, which b'rishus harabim is chayev, even though it's mutter to go there. But according to the Mando Omar, according to Shmuel, it says tana shoyle raglo hechik omar shor yuchiyach. How can you prove anything from Shur? Dibirushus chayev, v'horegel lo mechayev ele birushus hanizak v'shamim lo yirushus. If Shur is regel, then the chiyuv of Shur is dafke where there's no rushus. It's not where there's rushus. I don't understand what Tosfos is asking really, because we would be learning it from the Torah. What are we? It's true that in the Mishnah, but the Lord is actually the Tzadah Shoveh Shobehim in the Mishnah is in the Mishnah. So what is the Gemara asking? Tzadah Shoveh Shobehim. Why do we need that? Answers the Gemara: the Tzadah Shoveh comes to include this case, which means that because of the existence of Tzadah Shoveh, from the cases in the Mishnah we can deduce another case. What are the cases in the Mishnah? From Shoir and Boir, we can deduce the case of Poskin Bivaseya. Ach Tosfos, but if Shoir means regel, you cannot deduce the case of Poskin Bivaseya. What will you say? Boir Yurchayev, even though Ein Darko Lele Chulahazik, Poskin Bivaseya, which is Darko Lele Chulahazik, Lo Kol Shchein. That's not really Darko Lele Chulahazik, is it? How would we start with Boir? We would say it's Mamish Boir, not a Kol Shchein. We would say it is Boir, it's a Tolda of Boir. Ma boit chilas asu yosu lenezek, and you chayev. So also poskim bivaseim b'shus harabim chilas asu yosu lenezek, and you chayev. We would learn simply like that. So we would ask, ma le boir shekein eino b'rushus toima b'hanish b'rushus. Then we would have to say, shor yochiyah, but shor is also shaloi b'rushus. Shor is talking about b'rushus hanizak. So we do not have a precedent in the Mishnah of a nezek for which you chayev, even though you had the rights to do what you were doing at that particular time. Yeshleima answers Tosis. Tosis finds a case of regel, which is shaloi birushus. Of regel, which is chayiv, even though it's birushus. Kegun sheholach birushus harabim, an animal was walking in birushus harabim, v'heitiz v'hezik birushus hayochid, and he kicked up tsroiris, which did damage in birushus hayochid. The animal kicked up tsroiris, which broke a window in birushus hayochid. The chayiv. For that you chayiv kedamrinan lekamen and daf yutes. So there is a case, is the animal allowed to walk in the Rishus HaRabim? Sure. Is the animal chayev for the window breakage in the Rishus HaYochid as a result of his walking in the Rishus HaRabim? Yes, he's chayev. So we see there is a precedent to be mechayev somebody for an action which was legitimate. A legitimate action, yet he's chayev for the consequences. That will be the precedent. Let's look at the Gemara on Daf Yutes. That's an interesting Chakir on Daf Yutes. The eighth fat line on that Yutes Amud Aleph. Hitizo birushus harabim veiziko birushus hayochid mohu. Ask the Gemara, what is the case when an animal walks in Rishus HaRabim, kicks up stones, which does damage in Rishus HaYochid? Omale, so he answered, this was Rabbi Yirmiya asking Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira answers to Rabbi Yirmiya, Akiro ein kan, hanoche yesh kan. The Akiro is not illegitimate. The Akiro is kedarko. The Akiro, when the stone is uplifted from the Rishus HaRabim, there's no responsibility. At that point, if you were to ask, if you could stop the movie at that point, the stone is now up in the air, and you would ask a shaila, is it going to be chayev or potter? Tzroyus b'rushus harabim is potter. So at that point, there's no chiyuv created. Then it crosses the border, and there's an akira in rushus hayochid, but that akira is unrelated, that hanoche is unrelated to the original akira. So the svara would say that he's potter. That's what he answers. Eisave, I'll ask you a question. From a brisa, if she was walking in the way and she was matis tsroiris, whether in rishus hayochid or rishus harabim, chayev maila. Let's analyze that brisa. Hitiza b'rishus harabim v'ziku b'rishus harabim loy. We know that if what does it mean? Hitiza bein b'rishus hayochid bein b'rishus harabim. If it means she was walking in rishus harabim, was matis in Rishus HaRabim and damage in Rishus HaRabim, that we know you're potter for. Heitiza b'Rishus HaRabim v'ziki b'Rishus HaYochid, and if you'll say that it means that she was matis in Rishus HaRabim and damage in Rishus HaYochid, v'amato akiro in kan anochi yesh kan, if your svore is right, how can you be chayiv? Omele hadribi. Said Rabbi Zeira, you're right, I'm chayzer. So, good kasha, I've got no answer for it. My svora is wrong. I'll be svora, I said that it should be thus. You brought a raya from a tosefta, from a braisa. My svora is wrong. I withdraw. So, what's the halacha? You're chayef. That's Tosefta's makur for his case, according to Shmuel, of regel birushus harabim for which you're chayef. Case of regular birushus harabim for which you're chayef. Now the Tosefta Shans, and together with him the Rosh and the Rif, have an additional case, which is chayev birushus harabim, and that is the case the Rosh brings where there's a long plank, part of it in Rishus Harabim and part of it in Rishus Hayochid, and the animal stands on the plank and damages in Rishus Hayochid, moves the plank and the plank breaks something in Rishus Hayochid. So the halicha was in Rishus Harabim, the damage was in Rishus Hayochid, and Tosefta Shans brings that as one of the cases where the of Rishus, exactly the same as Troirus Lichoira, on the surface there's no difference, he's walking in Rishus Harabim and he's mazik lichoira, that's a case of Troirus. He kicks something which moves, and as a result of its movement damages the plank, is the Troir. Lichoira, it's exactly the same. Imagine that the plank moved entirely, imagine it was a small plank and it moved, he kicked it up from Rishus Harabim and it landed in Rishus Hayochi, so he would clearly be chayev. So this is a long plank which moved, which he didn't move the whole plank from Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayochi. He moved part of the plank. He moved in Rishus Harabim, which resulted in a movement and allowed to walk, stands on something which has an effect in Rishus Harabim, in Rishus Hayochid, for which is chayef.
Except in that case, the tank, you can say, personally, the tank then is standing next to it, then you can expect that he's for himself.
No, he didn't leave the plank there, maybe somebody else put the plank there. It doesn't have to be him. It could have dropped off the cart right in front of him where there's no pshia at all. Now that's we're going to learn the Rosh that deals with this. I think we've done that Rosh once before, but we'll do the Rosh now carefully. But before doing that, we need to look at the Rif. Because the Rosh is based on a Rif early on. On the second Omud of Rif, mitchilosoninu, they're all muad mitchilos is the Rif, levad mikeren. The tam libevesoif muad, only keren starts off being a tam and then becomes a muad. Who? Veshein veregel birushus harabim pturim, and shein and regel in rushus harabim is potur, mishum de urchayuhu. Because that's urche. That's the essence of shein veregel in rushus harabim, it's urche, it's normal for animals to walk, to trample, to eat, and they're allowed to be in rushus harabim, they're carrying out normal functions, and therefore there's no ischayvus for the balabos. That on that piece of Rif, the Rosh tackles the Rif. Look at Simon Aleph of the Rosh. Just a little bit above, halfway down the column of Simon Aleph. Towards the end of a line, just under a little Zion, there's a Zion in square brackets. And under the Zion, Veshein Veregel Pturim Birushus Harabim. I remember that the Rosh was written initially as a Perush on the Rif. The Rosh was written on the Rosh should really be where the Nemukhe Yosef is, on the Rif. And so he quotes, he has Dibur HaMaschils, and it's not put in bold print, but he has Dibur HaMaschils like any other Perush would have. So his Dibur HaMaschil here is, Veshein Veregel Pturim Birushus Harabim Deurchehu. That's a quote from the Rif. Okay, and then, so you can imagine a colon after that. You're now going to analyze that statement of the Rif. To me, I am amazed, says the Rosh, Ma hutzroch lefarish taime de ptiri, mishum de urchayuhu. Why does the Rif need to tell us the reason for which their potter is because they're urche? Hokro kosiv, it's a gzaras hakosu, v'vir besadeh acher v'darshinen v'loi b'rishus harabim. Look, what's the whole thing? What's the Rif worried about? Look, any cheder child will tell you that he's potter b'rishus harabim. When you ask the cheder child, why is he potter b'rishus harabim? The furish apostle, v'vir besadeh acher. That's the essence of Shein V'Regel. So what is the Rif telling us? Mishum de urchayuhu. That's the kasha of the Rosh. I discussed in the first shiur, what's his kasha? So what? What's wrong with what the Rif says? The Rif's giving a good svar. He's explaining the pasuk. Why are you potter b'rishus harabim? Mishum de urchayuhu. He's explaining the Torah, the halacha of the Torah. What's so wrong? Why is the Rosh getting so upset? Why not? Well, the Rambam says you do, even with the Gzeras HaKosev. You try and understand. But the Rambam does it all the time. The Moreh Nevuchim is full of it. He takes Gzeras HaKosev and he gives ideas with Karbonis and Shiluach HaKeh and all sorts of things. The Rambam gives reasons. Nobody attacks him on that. Sometimes they attack his reason, but they don't attack the fact that he's giving reasons. That's what it was is. It's very nice what the Rif says. It gives you a havona in the halacha of the Torah. What's the psu? The answer is, it has no place in the halacha sefer. You want to write a hashkofa sefer, you want to write a Moreh Nevuchim, there you can do it, but not in the halacha sefer. Unless it has relevance in halacha. If it has no relevance in halacha, it's redundant. Halacha has to be mathematically constructed, not philosophically constructed. It's from the kli to the halacha. We're working with the kelim, in halacha we're not working with the essence. In musar and hashkofa, there we put the essence. In halacha we're working with the kelim. And the kli is, v'vir besedei acher v'loi b'rishus harabim. That's the kli. You don't need to know anything more than that. That's all that, for halacha, that's all you need to know. Unless it's necessary for us in the reasoning, says the Rosh. So that has to be his line in the answer. He has to now find a halachic nafkemina for this reason. Ve'efshar sheba lefarish time aposuk. Answers the Rosh, maybe he's coming to give us pshat in the posuk, the reason. Lama patot ha-Torah b'rishus harabim. Why does the Torah say it's potter b'rishus harabim lefi shedarka lelech b'rishus harabim ve'efshar sheyechu abayrim acharei tomid. That makes our kasha even worse, doesn't it? So what was the kasha? Lachatchila, what was his kasha? Of course he's coming to give us pshat in the posuk. Did the Rif not know the posuk? What's he being mechadish the Rosh? Oh, he says, well, you must say, the Rif is coming to give pshat in the posuk. How about that? The important part is further on. About Keren, chayev es b'rishus harabim, afal pi shedar kalei lechshon. But Keren, you are chayev b'rishus harabim, even though it's dar kalei lechshon. The kivan de'iyayir b'yodea shunakon havalei lemare linture. Because for Keren, you know that you're sure. The chatzi nezek, they change this down the bottom, the Bach changes. The chatzi nezek kaimalan de knasahu. And even chatzin nezek we paskin is knas ki hechid in ture l'ture, so that when your ox walks in Rishus Harabim, you guard him even if he's a tam. In other words, although he's allowed to walk there, you've got to guard him. But shein v'regel, you don't have to guard because you can't stop an animal eating and walking. Then it can't be in Rishus Harabim. What are you going to do? You can't watch it where it puts down its foot. So the allowing an animal to walk in Rishus Harabim must entail a ptur for shein and regel. So what was it having been? Of course, that's what the Rish means. Comes the Rosh and he says, "V'nat gemina mitamzeh." That's what's important. But why the Rif put it in a sefer halacha is because there's enough gemina l'halacha. Sheim hoyo eitz oruch munach miktsosu b'rishus harabim u'miktsosu b'rishus hayochid. If there was a long stick, partly in Rishus Harabim and partly in Rishus Hayochid, v'dorso olav b'rishus harabim. And he stood on it in Rishus Harabim, a shibro b'Rishus Hayochid, and caused damage in Rishus Hayochid, kelim. Kivan shedalko leilech v'lidrei solov p'turim. Now you can, if it was just the gzeres hakosuv, says the Rosh, you would be in difficulty. What does it say? Uvier, he destroys b'sdeyacher. That would mean that if he destroys b'sdeyacher, doesn't matter whether he did it by walking in Rishus Harabim or by walking in Rishus Hayochid, I would say he's chayev. that since the Rosh, the Rif adds and says no, but the reason for the Gzeres HaKosuv is the Urchehu, and this is a result of Urche, of normal walking, we don't apply the Gzeres HaKosuv, but we apply the Svora, and you will be Potter. That's what the how the Rif, the Rosh learns the inclusion in the Rif of the Svora of Urchehu. That's how he understands. That's, he learns a Halacha Lemaisa from that. You learn from a Rosh like this how you've got to learn a Sefer Halacha. A Rambam or a Rif or a Rosh. When there is philosophy put in, there's got to be an Afkimin al Halacha, and that's why the Rambam in his Sefer Halacha doesn't put in all the philosophy. That's why he wrote a separate Sefer. And in the Moreh Nevuchim, when it comes to something like Shiluach HaDiscourse on the philosophic reasons for it, and when in Moreh Nevuchim, and in Yad HaChazoka, what does he say? It's a Choyk Ve'in Lotan. So we don't know what the reason is. Korbonus, he gives a long drosha in Moreh Nevuchim. And in Yad HaChazoka, he says it's min amudei ha'olam and it's a chok, and we don't know. That's it. What does he mean that we don't know? The knowing is irrelevant to the halachic structure of it all. Doesn't make any difference. From a philosophy, sure, we've got to try and understand what the underlying intention of the Ribbono Shel Olam is. That's where all the Musar comes from. Those places that don't learn Musar and Hashkofa are learning the essence without the Kelim. Both are sterile. The two are separate things. There's a limud of the kli, and there's a limud of the essence, and one has to be able to, in one's life, one has to put them together. The maise hamitzvah is the putting of the two together. The limud of halacha is dealing with the kli. The limud of ashkofen and musar is dealing with the essence. The shmiras hamitzvahs is taking the essence and putting it into the kli. In limud they're separate, in life they come together. That's the essence of it. And the Rif is a sefer halacha, and therefore, if he mentions some chayuhu giving pshat in the posuk, that's because you need it in the halachic structure. That means there must be a nafkimina. Explains the Rosh, what is the nafkimina? He's given an example where, without the philosophy, I would have been mechayev. Once we understand the yesoid of urchayu, I've got a pattern. In that case, the Rosh would hold like the Tosfos Shams, that our Tosfos could easily have given this as one of the examples of. A chiyuv, one could easily have given this as an example. No, he couldn't have, is that right? He's potter. So the Rosh here would hold, sorry, not like the Tosfos Shams, like our Tosfos. Our Tosfos only gives the one case, only the case of Tzruyus. That doesn't mean we can't bring a raya from our Tosfos, because Tosfos is just giving a case of a Gemara Mufureshis. Tosfos doesn't want to get involved in something which isn't in the Gemara. But the Tosfos Shams brings this case in and says that's another case where you chayev, and this Rosh proves from the Rif that he's choylik with the Tosfos Shams. And he carries on to say that there's somebody else who is choylik with, Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Rivosh, Loi Pirish came Lekamel Gabisho Yochiyak Shibirushus. In Al Sugya now, in Davov, the Rivosh also is not Mefarish like the Rosh has learned in the Rif, but the Rivosh, like the Tosfos Shams, learns the case of the long plank as one of the examples of a chiyuv, despite the fact that you're walking birushus. So we have a machloikis rishonim, we have the Rosh and the Rif on the one hand, and Tosfos Shams and the Rivosh on the other hand. The Rosh and the Rif will hold, since the essence of the gzeiro is, of the gzeiras hakosov is ulchayu, that means that if you're walking in a place where you're allowed to walk doing something which is normal to do, you cannot be held responsible for the consequences. And therefore, if there's a long plank which you move, which your animal moves, and causes nezek birushus hayochid, although it's uvir bisde acher, that's not what the Torah meant. And therefore you put it. Says the Tosfos Shams and the Rivosh, no. Even if you're walking in Rishus HaRabim, where you're allowed to walk, since the damage was in Rishus HaYochid, you are chayev. You're chayev for the tuvir bisde acher. That's the machlokes. Tosfos Shams and Rivosh on the one hand, Rosh and Rif on the other. We're going to do that. That's the next thing we're going to do. Chayk ve'in lo tam means that its time makes no difference in the reasoning. There are cases in the Rambam, there are a few cases where he does give a time, even in the Rambam. By Mezuzah, I think, is one case. Why does he give a time? Where the time is needed in halacha. For the same principle.
In a case like this, when he says,
No, it could be because if you try and attach the tamim that he gives in Moreh Nevuchim, you would come out lahalocha with nafkiminis, which he doesn't want you to do. And you've got to know that in halocha you've got to ignore the tamim totally. It has to be treated al pi halocha. In the limud halocha it has to be treated as a chok, and that's what's meant by a chok. A chok, what is meant by a chok, is not something which doesn't have a tam. Chas v'shalom, the Mishnah doesn't give us irrational halochas. The chok is a halocha where the tam is irrelevant in the reasoning. Not so in Nezikin, for example. That's why in the yeshivas they all learn Nezikin, because there it's a few gzeras, the rest is all sforah. And that's why the brisk is like kodshim, because there you're working with mathematics, you're working with pure lomdus. There's no the sforah doesn't come into it at all. So the Rosh holds that since the Rif gives us the reason that underlying the Pturin Rishus Harabim by Regel is the principle of Urchayu, therefore any Nezik which takes place, even if it's in Rishus HaYochid, and even if it's a result of Regel, if it was a result of a Regel B'Rishus HaRabim, it's Potter. Because B'Rishus HaRabim there's Urchayu. Mashenke, the Tois V'Shantz, and the Rivosh hold, that since it's Uvir B'Sedei Acher, the damage is done in the Sedei Acher, it's got nothing to do with Urchayu, that's Gzeres HaKosuv. If the damage is in Rosh HaYochid, you're chayav. That is the machlekes. Now, before we go further on to Jeff's question, which is what about tzreiros, kicking up tzreiros, I want to explain this machlekes a little bit further, based on a machlekes which we've already had between Rashi and the Rosh. On the question of what was the halacha l'moshe misinai legabi tzreiros. Do you remember? What did Rashi say? Our Rashi. Forget about the other Rashis that we saw. What did our Rashi say? What did the halacha l'moshe misinai teach us? That mamoinuhu. Which means I would have thought without the halacha l'moshe misinai that it was. And what would it have been? What av would it have been? Keren. It has to be Keren. What does the Rosh say? What did the halacha l'moshe misinai teach me? No, he says, I know that it's a tilde de regel. He told me it's chatzin nezik. I know it's tilde de regel, therefore I don't need to be told it's mamoinu, says the Rosh. I need to be told it's chatzin nezik. So according to Rashi, if we wouldn't have had halacha l'moshe misinai, we would have classified it as keren. According to the Rosh, if we wouldn't have had halacha l'moshe misinai, we would have classified it as regel. If the essence of regel is urchayu, and the essence of keren is lav urchayu, which we know it is, what's the machlokes? Is tzreiros urchayu or is it lav urchayu? What are machlokes and metzius? Again, stand on the road and do a survey and see how often they kick up tzreiros. What is the machlokes? Rashi and Rosh. It's a big machlokes. That means Rashi says without the halacha l'moshe misinai I would have classified tzreiros as keren, and the Rosh says without the halacha l'moshe misinai I would have classified tzreiros as regel. What is their machlokes? How do we understand that machlokes? Is it Urchayu or isn't it Urchayu? How would you learn that?
The problem of Tzuris was that we only classified it as legal because we had nowhere else to classify.
No, that's according to Rashi.
According to
the Rosh, he says it's chloro regal. There's no question that it's regal. That's how he starts off. I don't need halacha l'moshe misinai to tell me it's momen because it's clearly regal. So he had no havamina that it would be anything but regal. It was Rashi who says, now that we see that it's not keren, what is it? So we've got nowhere else to put it. It's closest to regal. Good, but let's worry about the machlokes Rashi and Rosh. How they learn it into the Gemara, that's another thing. But that's how they learn the Pashtus. So I say it depends with Tzoyus. Do you look at the cause or the effect? If you look at the cause, the Tzurchayu, what is the cause? Halicha, ordinary walking in a Shusarabi. Tzurchayu. If you look at the effect, that a stone should be kicked up with such force that it should cause Nezek, that's Lavurchayu. And that's the Machlokes. Do you look at the result? Do you look at the Nezek at the point of damage? Or do you look at the nezek at the point of origin? If you look at it at the point of origin, then it's lav urchayu, then it's urchayu.
says the Rosh, there's no shaila, it's regal. The only shaila is why it's chatzinezek, lochel moshi b'sinai. Says Rashi Avada, it's not regal. It's lavul chayu, who's ever heard of such cases? Animals kicking stones so hard that they cause nezek. That's lavul chayu, so it's certainly not regal, it's kerim. Comes lochel moshi b'sinai and tells me, no, it's not classic. It's momen, what is it? It must be regal. But that's not because I would have said it al pisvod. In that case, learning with those two analyses of tsuriris, what would the Rosh then hold? Forget about the Gemara. Let's just figure out our pisvora. What would the Rosh then hold if he kicks up tsuriris in Rishus HaRabim and it damages in Rishus HaYochid? What should he hold? He should hold potter. Comes from Rishus HaRabim. What should Rashi hold? Chayev. That's the Machlokes Rivosh and Rosh. We've got a Gemara and Daf Yutes against that, so we'll deal with the Gemara in a moment. But that would seem to be the Mach. And the long stick is the same. Do you look at the point of origin, do you look at the point of damage? And what does the Machlokes revolve around? Is it a Gzeres HaKosuv of Uvir Besdei Acher, or is it Enur Chayu? Are we looking at the place of origin? The Rif comes to tell us, because it's Urchayu, that means what the Rif is telling us in essence is, to define Regel, look where it starts. If it starts with Urchayu, where he's allowed to walk, Bereshus and Urchayu, that's Regel. That's all you have to know. Whatever results from that is Potter. That's how the Rosh and the Rif learn. The Rivosh and the Tosef Shans learn, though, Uvir Besdei Acher is a Gzeres HaKosuv. You've got to look where the damage is. If the damage is in Rishus HaYochid, and it was a result of a Regel, you're Chayu. Doesn't matter where the Regel was. That's the machlek, is whether we're going to look at it as the Gzeres HaKosuv, or we're going to allow the philosophic interpretation to play a part in the application of the halakh. That becomes, now we've got a Gemara and Daf Yutes, which is against that, because in the Gemara and Daf Yutes, but we understand what the Hakira is in Daf Yutes. What does Rabbi Zeira say? Akira in kan, anochi yesh kan. The Akira is in Chayu, the Akira is okay. What are you worrying about the Hanocha? Answers. The answers Rabbi, who was to ask the kasher? Rabbi Yirmiyah. Answers Rabbi Yirmiyah, but what about the Braisa? You see, your svora is wrong. Answers Rabbi Zeira, Hadribi. What does that mean? My svora was wrong? What kind of amoira is that? It gives a wrong svora? Chas v'sholem. Doesn't mean my svora was wrong. What's he answering? Zeras HaKosuv. Taka, you're right. The svora is he should be potter. But I can't use the svora in this case. This is the Gzeres HaKosuv of Uvir Besdei Acher. And so I'm Hadribi. I withdraw my svora, not because the svora is wrong, but because the Braisa shows me that it's a halacha, that it's a Gzeres HaKosuv, it's not a svora. Now we understand the Gemara and Daf Yutes. That's good for the Machloikis, Rabbi Yirmi and Rabbi Zeira. But our problem is the Gemara comes to the conclusion on Daf Yutes that it's that you're Chayev, which seems clearly like the Rivosh and Tosef Shantz and Shitas Rashi, as we're learning it, unlike the Rosh and the Rif. So let's go back to the Rif. Dez, are you getting a case for? What are you shaking? You shake your head and you say yes. You lost. Where? I tell you, must tell me before you get lost, not after you get lost. There's something missing yet. Okay, so let me sum up. If you believe me, Dez, if there's something missing in your mind, believe me, you're not the only one. So if you'll stop me, a lot of people will benefit. So let me summarize it again. What we've got is a machlokes Rosh and Rif on the one hand, and Tosfos Shantz and Rivosh on the other hand. The machlokes concerns a long stick, partly in Rishus HaRabim, partly in Rishus HaYochid. The shor walks on it in Rishus HaRabim, causes damage in Rishus HaYochid. What is the case? The Rosh and the Rif hold potur, first the Shantz and the Rivosh hold chayev. What does it revolve around? Explains the Rosh. The Rif tells us that this is not just a gzeres hakosuv of vivir b'stei acher, that you just look at where the damage occurs. You've got to look at where the damage originates. Why? That's why the Rif tells us that the reason for the Ptur in the Torah is because it's Urchayu. What is Urchayu? Not the damage is Urchayu. The cause of the damage is Urchayu. And therefore we don't concern ourselves with the consequence of the damage, only with the cause of the damage. If the cause is Urchayu, you're potter. So it's the Shantz and the Rivosh. No, there's a Gzeres HaKosuv of Uvir Besdei Acher. Is that okay? The next thing I said, point number two, we have another Machlokes, Tosfos and Rashi. Rosh and Rashi. on what would I have thought had I not had the halacha l'moshe m'sinai in the case of Tzroiris? Rashi says I would have classified it as keren because it's lavurche. The Rosh says I would have classified it as regel because it is urche. I asked, what's the machlokes about? Is it or isn't it urche? Measure it, get the AA, and ask them to do a survey. So the machlokes must be inherently in Tzroiris. What is the machlokes? The same machlokes. Is it a gzeres hakosim where you look at the place of damage? Or is it a svara where you look at the origin of the damage? If you look at the place of damage, then Tzroiris is lavurche. It's an unusual thing for a stone to fly and to cause damage. But if you look at the cause, what caused it? The ox was walking on Rosh Hashanah. That's what caused it. He didn't do anything unusual. He didn't take a running kick. No, he was just ordinary walking. It happened. So the maise was normal, was urche. The tzor, the result was lavurche. Says Rashi, we go by the tzor because it's a gzeres hakosim of the v'steyachir. Says the Rosh, we go by the origin because of the svora of the Rosh of the reef. We go after whether the action was urche. We're not interested in what the tzor was. There's that okay so far? Yeah, because Rashi says we would have thought it was keren. Rashi says we would have thought it was keren. That means that Rashi holds it as lavurche. The Rosh says we would never have thought it was keren. We would have thought it was regel. That means the Rosh holds it urche. What's their machlokes? The machlokes isn't whether tzroiris are urche or lavurche. That's metzius. The machlokes is what part of tzroiris do you look at? The origin or the result? Part 3. A kasha from the Gemara on Daf Yutes, where the Gemara on Daf Yutes concludes that if he kicks up a tzroir from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, he is chayef. Which seems to be that the Gemara holds like the Tos V'Shams and the Rivosh, that it's a gzeres hakosav of Avir B'Sdeyachid. That's part 3. Part 4 is now to answer that Gemara on Daf Yutes, which the Shilta Giborim does on the Rif. The Shilta HaGiborim in Sifkot and Beis. The Shilta HaGiborim is on the right hand margin in the Rif. So he starts off quoting the entire Rosh. And then he says, if you look about halfway down that Sifkoten Beis, he says, "Ubevadai dehochi hu das Rabbeinu." Have you got that? And the first part is quoting the Rosh. You can do that yourselves. And then he adds, "This is his own addition." Ubevadai dehochi hu das Rabbeinu. He's coming to the support of the Rosh. That clearly, I will bring you a raya, says the Shilta Giborim, that the Rif agrees with the Rosh. Sharei b'feire keitzad haregel, because in keitzad haregel in daf yutes hish mit bayed Rabbi Yirmiyel Rabbi Zeire, the Rosh simply deletes that whole discussion between Rabbi Yirmiyel and Rabbi Zeire. The boy minei where Rabbi Yirmiyel asks Rabbi Zeire, it is a berushus harabim veizikir berushus hayochid mal. What happens if she kicks up stones in berushus harabim and they do damage in berushus hayochid? Vasikna hosom, and the Gemara there concludes the chayev, that is chayev, the Rabbeinu Hishmita, and the Rif leaves it out. Mashme, that implies, disvirale, that he holds, the lav hilchasuhu, that brisa on which that conclusion is based, is shaloi aliba de hilchas. Elohitiza berushus harabim vezike berushus hayochid potur, the urchehu. The Rif holds that the svara is so strong, that that's the meaning of the Tzukim, that he holds that the Brice on Daf Yutes is Shaloiki Hilchas, otherwise why would he leave it out? Why? So if you're going to hold that, then there's no case at all of a Ptur Birushus, of a case where Yeah, so we will have to say that the Rif paskins like Rav. Because, again, the Rif's not giving a perish on the Gemara. No, the Gemara could be going according to both. And if you learn according to Shmuel, then you'll have to hold the Daf Yud Tes is Aliba the Hilchasa. But since La Halacha we paskin like Rav, we don't have to worry about the Gemara and Daf Yud Tes. Because the Rif is in the fortunate position of being a Posek rather than a Mefarish. So he can go right through like Rav and not like Shmuel. He doesn't have to worry about Tosfos' Kasha. And therefore he can dispense with the Gemara and Daf Yud Tes. The Pilpul Harifta gets upset with the Shilta Giborim, with the Rif altogether. The thought that his own Svara, using his own Svara, he can simply delete a piece of Gemara. It's a little bit rough, but look at the Shilta Giborim. The Svara of a Rishon, that is powerful enough to be able to do that. The Rif must have had the Svara of the Kabbalah also. It's not a Svara that he makes up himself. The Pilpul Harifta asks, how can the Rif make up a Svara? Clearly, a Svara which he uses to delete a section of the Gemara is a Svara which he has with Kabbalah. That's not a Svara which he makes up himself. That's how the Shilta Giborim wants to learn. The Marshal destroys the Shilta Giborim. And we're going to learn the Marshal inside. The question is, do you want to start it now, or do you want to prepare the Marshal on your own and we'll do it on Thursday? You would rather prepare it yourselves. Okay. So then, Chazer all this first. And here we photostated the Marshal. Should we learn twice this week again? Sorry? But it's Sunday and Monday. If we learn on Tuesday and Thursday, then you'll have Sunday and Monday. Let's do that. Let's try and get a little ahead of it. The first week in July, I hope to go away for a couple of days, so we'll probably take a break. So let's push it a little bit now. Sorry? The first week in July. And let's learn it on the school holiday starts, I think, the 29th or the 30th of June. Not identity, but I think we maybe will close for 2 weeks, or maybe even possibly even for 1 week, because in August I might have to be away again for 2 weeks. Are you going away the second week, I think? Eric's also going away the second week. Maybe we'll close the second week also. Okay. Where's David today, Tucker? David's missing today also, isn't he? So he does? Sorry? No, you've got a Marshal, but this is the Yam Shel Shlomo. We've got the Chochma Shlomo, this is the Yam Shel Shlomo. This is the main work of the Marshal. So I think if you've prepared it, it won't take me long to... Start from the beginning. Ignore my underlinings, but only take it until the Va'oid. Two, four. Six lines from the bottom of that second column, there's a Va'oid. That's where you can stop. You start from the beginning of Siman Dalet, and you go down till the void. We don't have a Yamshel Shlomo. Yeah. So we must make a list of those that we need to get. No, I don't. No. We should get some of these.